Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. All right, before the news, I asked, why did Special Prosecutor Franz Schmitz now, after for a week allowing everybody to believe that Scott Walker, that prosecutors determined that Scott Walker was in the center of this criminal scheme? And then yesterday he felt, through his attorney, he had to issue a statement saying, well, no, that should not be read into that. Late last week, after it was released, and that's the way the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported it, and that's the way major news organizations throughout the country re-reported it, why didn't he set the record straight almost immediately? And if you're not going to set the record straight immediately, why let it marinate in that muck for a week and then set the record straight? Tell you what, let's see if somebody has this. 406-1360. I won't do this very long because I actually want to get to another topic. 406-1360. 888-455-1360. Why do you suppose Franz Schmitz did this? If he wasn't going to set the record straight right away, and by the way, thanks a lot for not doing that. Franz Schmitz was brought into this because he's believed to be a conservative, or at least have conservative chops, and that he would bring an air of credibility to this for conservatives or anyone else, which he has not done. So why now? So see if somebody can get this. I won't take very long on this, I'll tell you. I want to see if somebody has this figured out. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Why did, after about a week, when he could have saved Scott Walker all of this, this public impression that he's at the center of a criminal scheme, why do it now? John in Eagle River. John, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's so that he's counting on the major networks not picking it back up again and then letting it fester out there, and then like the nation still believes that Walker is still under investigation.
Why then, why do it at all? Why not just allow that perception to continue then?
Well, you could say that, I did my part, and, if somebody else doesn't want to pick it up, then that's their fault.
Well, he did his part to do what?
Not actually clear, Walker, but to say that, Walker's not under investigation.
But why? Yeah. But why did he feel that was necessary now? See, that's the tricky part here. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I don't think anybody's going to get this. Maybe I'll just tell you. Phones aren't ringing off the hook. All right, it's Friday. I'll be easy on you. Oh, wait. See, now as soon as I say that, Somebody has to, I want to prove I know. I really do want to get to another topic. So if this person doesn't have it, I think I'll tell you. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. Tim in Lublin, we'll get Tim on here in a second. Tim in Lublin, what do you think it is?
I think it's quite simple. I think, first off, he wanted to damage Walker in his bid to be reelected as governor. Plus, he knew that if the national press would pick up on it, it would be something that would hang over a cloud of him if he did consider running for president.
Okay, but then why fix it now?
Because this would give him more time to let it marinate, continue, or fix it now. Well, because it's not really a fix now. Because if he's doing the same thing that, if you remember, with the Clintons and others did, is he's dumping it just before the weekend. Because last weekend he dumped it, they picked it up. Dumping it on a Friday this weekend when everyone's got plans and so forth, and he's counting on them not picking it up.
But why do it at all? Why not just let people continue to think what was originally reported?
Well, that I really don't know. I think it's just he just wanted him damaged, and so why do it now? Maybe he's got to get back in the good graces of somebody somewhere. Even though the damage has been done, he's got to make it up to somebody somewhere along the lines.
Tim, thanks a lot for the call. Let's one more. Catherine on the road. Catherine, go ahead. Catherine,
he's released it because he's going to face epic charges if he doesn't.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
He's done this to protect himself because he's going to face epic charges if he doesn't.
I don't know whether he would or not, but I'm going to accept that answer to protect himself. That part is accurate. Here's why. I think after a week of allowing Scott Walker to twist in the wind, it occurred to him that one of two things are likely to happen. One is that the investigation is not allowed to continue. If the investigation is not allowed to continue, then it's over. If on appeal, the judge's ruling, Judge Randa's ruling, which stopped the investigation, if that is upheld on appeal, this is over, this is done. And it occurred to Schmitz that he's going to be heavily criticized if he doesn't say, oh yeah, by the way. But it occurred to him after he lets Walker twist in the wind for a week, thanks a lot. And two, if the investigation did continue and Walker still isn't charged with anything, that he was going, for whatever reason, he decided, well, I better let the world know what's going on here. So he did. So it is in that regard to protect himself. But he also, and an earlier caller got this right, he also knows that this doesn't fix anything. This doesn't unring a bell, put the genie back in the bottle, whatever metaphor, cliche that you wish to use. He knows that. The earlier caller was right. This doesn't fix anything. Let me make my point on that. Mary Burke released an ad yesterday. Remember when they said, well, this campaign's not going to be about John Doe. This campaign's not going to be about John Doe. This campaign's not going to be about John Doe. It's going to be about jobs. Apparently it's going to be about both.
It started like this.
Prosecutors in Wisconsin are alleging that Governor Scott Walker
participated in a criminal scheme.
Prosecutors claim the governor led a criminal scheme that broke election law.
Then more bad economic news under Walker.
Not so good economic news. Wisconsin ranking 37th in the country for job creation.
And here in the Midwest, we're dead last. So what does politician Scott Walker do the next day? He launches more attack ads. Scott Walker just isn't working for you.
It's like the old Saturday Night Live skit. Okay, it's not going to be about John Doe. It's going to be about jobs. That ad is about both. It's like the old Saturday Night Live ad for Shimmer, the non-dairy floor wax and dessert topping. It's a floor wax. It's a dessert topping. It's a floor wax. It's a dessert topping. Stop it, you two. It's both. Apparently, it is about both. Walker fired back yesterday, calling on Burke to pull what he called a slanderous TV ad. Following news that Governor Walker is not a target of the John Doe investigation, the Walker campaign called on Mary Burke to pull that ad. Burke's ad, June 20th, uses defunct, inaccurate reporting in an effort to slander Governor Walker, the statement says from his campaign. Two judges have ruled that there is no case, and prosecutors have now stated clearly that Governor Walker was not a target of the investigation. Also, it is wrong for any person to point, and then we quote what Schmidt's attorney said. She's not going to pull that ad. The damage is done. And Fran Schmitz, who conservatives used to have a modicum of respect for, is completely responsible. Oh, yeah, Jason got a, I didn't get into that. Remind me, I do want to tell that story of the sham survey that you got from Burke's campaign, making it seem as though it's just a survey about the governor's race. basically lied about unemployment numbers. We'll have to get into that at some point. I want to do this. In fact, I'm going to read this, Jason, now, the Ann Coulter piece. I'm going to completely switch gears here. Her actual piece. I'm going to switch gears here. I'm going to read this, and then I want your reaction. It says nothing to do with politics. Ann Coulter, as you know, is one of the most provocative writers out there. She says things in a way to get people to talk about what she's saying. She's very effective at it, although I haven't used it her column in a long time. This has nothing to do with politics. This has to do with soccer. The headline of her blog at her website, America's Favorite National Pastime, Hating Soccer. I've held off on writing about soccer for a decade, or about the length of the average soccer game, so as not to offend anyone, but enough is enough. Any growing interest in soccer can only be a sign of the nation's moral decay. One, individual achievement is not a big factor in soccer. In a real sport, players fumble passes, throw bricks, and drop fly balls, all in front of a crowd. When baseball players strike out, they're standing alone at the plate, but there is also individual glory in home runs, touchdowns, and slam dunks. In soccer, the blame is dispersed and almost no one scores anyway. There are no heroes, no losers, no accountability, and no child's fragile self-esteem is bruised. There's a reason perpetually alarmed women are called soccer moms, not football moms. Do they even have MVPs in soccer? Everyone just runs up and down the field. Every once in a while, a ball accidentally goes in. That's when we're supposed to go wild. I'm already asleep. Liberal moms like soccer because it's a sport in which athletic talent finds so little expression that girls can play with boys. No serious sport is co-ed, even at the kindergarten level. No other, in quotes, sport ends in as many scoreless ties as soccer. This was an actual marquee sign by the freeway in Long Beach, California, about a World Cup game last week. Second period, 11 minutes left, score 0-0. 2 hours later, another World Cup game was on the same screen. First period, 8 minutes left, score 0-0. If Michael Jackson had treated his chronic insomnia with a tape of Argentina versus Brazil instead of propofol, he'd still be alive, although bored. Even in football, by which I mean football, there are very few scoreless ties, and it's a lot harder to score when a half-dozen 300-pound bruisers are trying to crush you. The prospect of either personal humiliation or major injury is required to count as a sport. Most sports are sublimated warfare. As Lady Thatcher reportedly said after Germany had beat England in some major soccer game, don't worry, after all, twice in the century, we beat them at their national game. I wonder if Maggie really said that. Baseball and basketball present a constant threat of personal disgrace. In hockey, there are three or four fights a game, and it's not a stroll on a beach to be on ice with a puck flying at 100 miles an hour. After a football game, ambulances carry off the wounded. After a soccer game, every player gets a ribbon and a juice box. Really? You can't use your hands in soccer, thus eliminating the danger of having to catch a fly ball. What sets men apart from the lesser beasts, besides the soul, is that we have opposable thumbs. Our hands can hold things. Here's a great idea. Let's create a game where you're not allowed to use them. I resent the force-fed aspect of soccer. The same people trying to push soccer on Americans are the ones demanding that we love HBO's Girls, Light Rail, Beyonce, and Hillary Clinton. The number of New York Times articles claiming soccer is catching on is exceeded only by the ones pretending women's basketball is fascinating. I note that we don't have to be endlessly told how exciting football is. 7. It's foreign. In fact, that's the precise reason the Times is constantly hectoring Americans to love soccer. One group of sports fans with whom soccer is not catching on at all is African Americans. They remain distinctly unimpressed by the fact that the French like it. 8, soccer is like the metric system, which liberals also adore because it's European. Naturally, the metric system emerged from the French Revolution during the brief intervals when they weren't committing mass murder by guillotine. Boy, she goes everywhere here. despite being subjected to Chinese-style brainwashing in the public schools to use centimeters and Celsius. Ask any American for the temperature, and he'll say something like 70 degrees. How far is Boston from New York? About 200 miles. Liberals get angry and tell us that the metric system is more rational than measurement everyone understands. That's ridiculous. Actually, I disagree with her on that. The metric system is much more logical than the standard. Number 9. Soccer is not catching on. Headlines this week proclaim record U.S. ratings for World Cup, and we had to hear again about the growing popularity of soccer in the United States. The U.S.-Portugal game was the blockbuster match, garnering 18.2 million viewers on ESPN. This beat the second most watched soccer game ever, the 1999 Women's World Cup final, USA versus China on ABC. In soccer, the women's games are as thrilling as the men's. By that, she means neither. Run-of-the-mill regular season Sunday night football games average more than 20 million viewers. NFL playoff games, 30 to 40 million. This year's Super Bowl, 111 million. Remember when the media tried to foist British soccer star David Beckham and his permanently camera-ready wife on us a few years ago? Their arrival in America with heralded 24/7 news coverage, that lasted about 2 days. Ratings tanked. No one cared. And then, in classic Ann Coulter provocateur style, if more Americans are watching soccer today, it's only because of the demographic switch affected by Teddy Kennedy's 1965 immigration law. I promise you, no American whose great-grandfather was born here is watching soccer. One can only hope that in addition to learning English, these new Americans will drop their soccer fetish with time. Ann Coulter says it's only immigrants who are driving TV ratings, and most Americans don't give a rat's butt about the World Cup or soccer, and it's not catching on here at all. Do you think she's right or wrong? Now, I'm not asking if you think she's right about things she says about soccer. I don't follow soccer closely. I think she's wrong about a number of things. But her overall thesis, Jason, that it's a mirage that soccer's really catching on here. Do you agree or disagree with that? You disagree? You think it is hot and it's catching on and it's growing in America? You think it's the World Cup and people care when it's the USA versus the world? Okay, but what about compared? Well, actually, I'll tell you what. 406-1360. 888-455-1360. Do you agree with Jason that soccer's really catching on here? I disagree with a lot of things Ann Coulter said there. I don't know that I disagree with her on that. It's 9:53.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.